Second Chronicles chapter 33, beginning at verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. The Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and God was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering in of the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods, and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord, and in Jerusalem, cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. We'll end our reading there, trusting the Lord will bless the public reading of His Word this morning. Let's bow for a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee today. We come at this time when we stand before the Word of God in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to pray today for the help that only comes by the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us, we pray, and bless us as we handle and take the things of the Word of God. I pray for a solemnity would be in the house of the Lord this morning. Lord, come and help us because we stand in need of the help of the Holy Ghost. We stand, Lord, in need today because the words of men are very weak. Hide us behind the cross of Christ, and let none be seen save Jesus only. And Lord, get glory to Thy name in the salvation of souls this day in the very house of God. Lord, we pray for an outpouring of Thy grace, the rich, full, and free supply of the grace of God. Hear us, Lord, this day. Fill me with Thy Spirit and help me to speak with the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray that no word that is spoken this morning will be misunderstood by anyone here in this place, but that all will hear, all will understand, and oh God, that all will receive this word in their very heart. Father, hear this prayer today and bless us now, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If I was to ask you this morning, what would come to your mind when we say the words, a trophy of grace? Perhaps when you think of the word, a trophy of grace, you might consider a person who lived the life of an alcoholic, and they stumbled over a gospel tract in the gutter one night, and they read that tract, and the Spirit of God gripped their heart, and they came to find the truth and the freedom that there is in Jesus Christ. Perhaps when you think of a trophy of grace, you would consider in the Bible the account of the dying thief. For that man who, in the very last moments of his life upon earth, turned his head toward Christ and said, "Lord, remember me." And that moment, he was saved by the Lord's grace and brought into His kingdom. What about the Apostle Paul? A man who hated Jesus Christ in his heart and did everything he could to stand against the New Testament church. And yet the Lord dealt with this man who breathed out threatenings and slaughters and saved him. I want to draw your attention today to this particular man that we have read about, because I believe that as you read the account of this story of Manasseh, you will find a man that is truly a trophy of the grace of God. Manasseh was the son of the godly Hezekiah. He was brought up and reared in a godly home. And yet, sadly, at the age of 12, he had lost his father, and he was brought to a place of responsibility of ruling the nation of Judah when he was not even old enough to rule his own home yet. His reign was recorded here as the longest of all the kings of Judah. His father, Hezekiah, saw Judah rise to the very heights of righteousness and purity, and the great reformation that Hezekiah, his father, was able to do under God, saw the people rejoicing with great joy. And yet how adverse is the reign of Manasseh? For he in his reign tried to undo everything his father had done, and he caused both himself and all of Judah to sink down into the very depths of sin and of rebellion against God. But at the end of Manasseh's life, something happened. He was transformed and changed. And he was changed to such a degree that he can be held up before us today as the evidence of the power of the grace of God in the life of one man. A trophy of grace. A rich trophy of God's grace. And my friend, I pray that if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, you will listen very carefully to this word. Because you will find yourself in the person of Manasseh. And you too who are at this point in time without Christ, you're not saved, you do not have an experience of the Lord in your heart, that you will know that you too can experience the same grace of Manasseh, and you can come to know his Savior and his God. Notice with me, first of all, please, the atrocious wickedness of this man who is called Manasseh. If ever there was a man who was completely possessed and dominated by the powers of darkness to do evil against the Lord that is recorded in the Bible, you would have to say there is not a greater example of this than this particular man. Oh, there may be some that come to be close to this, but for what is recorded here in the Bible of what this man did, he set himself not only to be careless about the things of God, he was not just apathetic. He was not just a man who was prepared to say, well, if you want to go your way and I'll just go my way. He was militantly opposed to everything that was right and righteous. In verse 2, it tells us a summary of his life. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Some people, and possibly you're like this today, you might be a secret sinner. You do not like to have the lack of respect of people, of knowing that you are just openly flaunting your sin. Maybe you secretly do sins. But Manasseh wasn't like that. You could say in one sense he was not a hypocrite because he openly did his sin. There is nothing that was secret about Manasseh's transgression. He was proud. He was arrogant. He sinned openly and unashamedly. He didn't care what people thought, nor did he care what God thought, nor what he had commanded in his word. He was given over to sin and wickedness and committed the most heinous crimes against the Lord. Please look at verse 3. He built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. And he reared up altars for Balaam, made groves, worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be. He built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times, used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards, and wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord his God, to provoke him to anger. We have before us this morning a detailed catalogue of the sin of this man. First of all, it is idolatry. Manasseh overturned all the reforms that godly Hezekiah had instituted. Not only did he build the high places which Hezekiah had broken down, in Hezekiah's desire to serve and to honor the Lord, so Manasseh built them back up again. He reared up altars for Balaam. He made groves, and he worshipped the host of heaven. He worshipped the sun, the moon, and the stars. He entered into the very sanctuary of God, and he defiled that sanctuary by building up altars and rearing them. And then a step further, he had a personal idol, one for himself only, and that he also set up in the house of God, in the place where the Lord said, I will put my name forever. But Manasseh didn't care about that. He didn't care about God's glory. He ravaged and defiled the very house of God with a defiant spirit. And we know of one in the earlier part of Exodus who shook his fist in the face of God, basically saying, who is the Lord that I should obey him? But in Pharaoh's case, he did not even have the advantage of knowing previously much of the Lord. But here in Manasseh's case, he knew much about God. But he stood in his defiance. And he threw out everything that he had learned. Idolatry is a sin which God views as very serious. The first two commandments we have are inscribed with the finger of the Lord, and they tell us of the instruction against this practice. And then we also find in Leviticus chapter 26, ye shall make you no idols nor graven image, neither rear up a standing image. You shall not set up an image of stone in your land to bow down to it. I am the Lord God. And the Lord throughout Scripture has equated the sin of idolatry with the sin of adultery, and those two go hand in hand together. And whenever Israel had left the Lord, had forsaken God, and had gone after the idols of other nations, the Lord equated that with the most grievous sins against Himself. So it wasn't just idolatry, though, that Manasseh had sunk into. That would have been bad enough. But it was into witchcraft. Witchcraft and demonism are invariably linked to idolatry. And here we find that Manasseh was involved in the whole range of this type of sorcery. This was not a game. This was not something he was just dabbling into. This was something that he had sold himself out to do the devil's business. Manasseh was a very busy man about his sin. And I believe we could rightly assume that Manasseh was taught the way of God from his father Hezekiah. That would make him all the more responsible for his actions. And the Lord said, neither shall ye use enchantment nor observe times in Leviticus chapter 19. And in chapter 20 of Leviticus, it says these words, and the soul that runneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among the people. There's a very clear word from God. There's no ambiguity in this. The Lord does not tolerate nor allow His people to have anything to do with things that are connected with the underworld, with things of darkness, with the use of familiar spirits or enchantments, or being intrigued by these things, or the use of wizards. And my friend, this is where as Christians we have to be very careful, because sometimes children can begin to play with games and Ouija boards, things of this nature, which they will dabble with because there seems to be some kind of excitement connected with these things. But be warned, young person, be warned. Do not ever dabble with these things. For God has made it very clear. And that's why as Christians we need to step far away from things that try to entice or lessen the solemnity that God has put against the use of wizards, even good wizards, such as are found in Lord of the Rings. Books of this nature, stories of this nature, which glorify and lift up that which God has said comes from the very pit of hell, should be stepped back from as far as Christians are concerned. Manasseh was a man who was given to idolatry. He was given to witchcraft. But he was also given to murder. Is that a surprise? Notice what it says in verse 6, the first part. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. So far had he declined down this ladder of abomination and taking on the practices of the heathen that nothing any longer was sacred to him, including his own children. He was prepared to take his son and to come before the valley of the god of Hinnom, of Molech the god, whom historians tell us was an image of brass that was hollowed out, filled with fire, so that fire would be breathing out the mouth of this image. And parents would come and would place their children onto the burning arms of this image, either to be incinerated as a living sacrifice or that which would be consumed by a sacrifice that had previously been made. And this is exactly what Manasseh did. He caused his own son to pass through the fire. This man was completely sold out to do his wickedness. He was not playing around at his religion. He was absolutely convinced that what he was doing was right, and that he was going to be able to obtain some kind of blessing, some kind of appeasement. Manasseh was a man completely sold out to do that which was evil. A very dark picture has been painted here about this man. A man who deserves nothing of the grace of God. A man who deserves nothing but the swiftness of judgment and punishment. A very dark picture. Yet some people in our very congregation this morning might be saying, I'm very glad that I'm not like Manasseh. I'm glad that I have not been given over to such evil and wickedness. And friend, if you're without Christ here this morning and you're saying that, beware, because you also are guilty of the same type of sins that Manasseh has been guilty of, maybe not to the same degree, but definitely in the same essence. For you have sold yourself to work great evil in rearing up idols against God in your own heart. An idol that takes possession of your life. A manner of giving up of your children to the things of the world. Oh yes, my friends, we have to be very careful that we don't try to justify ourselves in the eyes of God and say, I'm glad I'm not like that man. Because we will find that in our hearts, we are wicked exceedingly before God. And young people, be warned today. Because Manasseh sinned greatly in his youth. He was only 12 years old when he came to the power of the throne. And he was given himself over to all these excesses. By the time he was 20, he had sinned more than many people have in a lifetime. Manasseh knew the way of truth and righteousness. Remember now, my young friends, thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And yet some would say, well, I've never committed murder. But the Bible tells us clearly, if you hate someone, you have murdered them. And so all of us, as we begin to go through and account the sins of our life, we find that to some degree, to some point, we are all guilty as Manasseh was before God. And none of us, not one of us here, deserve anything of the mercy or of the grace of God in our lives. I want you to notice with me, secondly, then, the great change that occurred, the mercy of God that was seen in the life of this man. For God allowed him to continue in his life. God gave this man time to repent. Now, if we had been the judge standing to bring judgment upon this man, most certainly we would have cast him off and rejected him long before he had done the great amount of sin that he had done. Do you ever look at someone who is way far away from God in the depths of sin and say, well, there's almost no point even witnessing to that person because they're too far gone. The Lord would never save them. They have mounted up upon their life sins that are too high, too great for God to have mercy on. And yet, my friends, we're confronted today with the example of the mercy of God, the grace of God that is so great. Grace that is greater than all my sin. Grace that is higher than the very heavens. Grace that is deeper than the sea. And the long suffering of God toward this man was tremendous. And the Lord had sent prophets to him. He had sent people to warn Israel and Manasseh, and they had rejected those. Have you rejected the message of God that's been offered to you time and time again, my friend? You find yourself in a gospel service again. The Lord is having mercy upon you. He is extending His hand of grace to you. But you stand back and say, that's for someone else, but not for me, because I'll find my own way. I'm good in and of myself. When Manasseh had rejected the Lord's mercy, the Lord took step B. And He caused the Assyrians to come in and the captains of the host, and they took Manasseh away captive. And to him at that time, this was the worst thing that could have happened to him. It was the most humbling and degrading thing. He was taken among the thorns. He was caused to have pain and anguish and then cast into a prison in Babylon. But this was the working of God's grace in the life of this man. This was the development and the step-by-step way that God was going to deal with the soul of this man. And look at verse 10. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken, they would not listen. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. The Lord brought him down very, very low. He found himself bleeding in the prison, humbled as a common prisoner. But my friend, here is the great mercy of God in our lives. For what pathway did God have to take us to in order to bring us to His mercy and give us His grace? Think about it in your own life. Think back over the times and the things that God has done for you. Think of how when you consider it to be an awful devastation and tragedy, the thing that happened, it was God working in your life. It was the Lord so steering your life, outpouring grace to you. And sometimes the binding and the being put in prison, in a sense, sometimes that affliction upon you is the very thing that's going to bring you and to humble you before the Lord God of heaven. There is a story of a man who in November of 1924, a Portuguese businessman on the verge of bankruptcy, came up with a plan. And the plan that he had was to prepare banknotes, counterfeited banknotes. And so what this man did was to begin what is known as the most notorious counterfeiting procedure that has ever been known to man. His name was Alves Rees. In the year 1916, just after World War I, Rees decided to emigrate to the province of Angola that was connected with Portugal to seek a livelihood in that place. He forged a document. It was a diploma from the Polytechnic School of Engineering in the University of Oxford, which department of university never existed. So the beginning of his life was one of deceit and treachery. And so he comes to Angola with this engineering certificate. He gets a job in the local public works, worked there for a while, built up some income, acquired an American car dealership there, became also a man able to take over the company called Ambaca. Unfortunately, at that time, he was arrested for some embezzlement charges and spent 55 days in jail. At the time when he was in jail, he did a lot of research into the Bank of Portugal. Now, that time in the Bank of Portugal, the government would print money if they needed to have money. And though they were not backed by the gold standard, they would just go to the printing company and they would have more money printed. But this was done in great secrecy because they did not want to allow the public to know that their currency was being devalued by the increase of the money's production and printing. Now, Mr. Reese found out about this, and he began a scheme. And he began preparing and getting some legitimate businessmen on his side, and they were not sure of what he was doing. But he prepared documents, and he sent a man to London, England, to Waterlow and Sons Printing Company. And they were responsible for printing currency in Britain, the stamps, and also for printing the money for Portugal. And so by a very intricate scheme, he set out to convince this Waterlow company that he was an agent of the government of Portugal, and he was able to get them to print money for him. And so it was a great counterfeiting scheme, and yet he was using legitimate currency for his ends. And he got hundreds of thousands of pounds, in fact, millions of pounds worth of currency, and yet it was legitimate currency. But as things went on, there was some suspicion that this man was up to this with all of his wild spending and the development he had in many different countries. And so a bank teller that was suspicious of this found out that the serial numbers were the same serial numbers on bills that had been printed many, many years before. And so it really was by accident that a comparison of these bills found that the serial numbers were the same. And that began an investigation. And that investigation caused the overthrow, really, of the entire government in Portugal, because everyone who had these 500 Escudos notes, they all became worthless overnight as soon as there was a run on the bank when this thing came to the light. Well, it took 6 years to clear away the debris of lies and cheating and falsehoods that Alves Rees had spread around through everybody, trying to implicate as many people as he could. And then finally, as he spent many years in prison awaiting trial, he was found guilty of his crime, and he was sentenced to 20 years in the Cadiva National Prison. While he was there in prison, suffering, I'm sure, under a great deal of depression, he tried to take his life by swallowing a vial of poison that he had kept, and it only led him to unconsciousness. And yet he came back to consciousness again in the hospital. And there was a British missionary working there called George Howes. And George Howes sent him some gospel tracts, then went to visit him in prison. And through the testimony and the witness of this man in prison, Alves Rees began to come under conviction. And he realized that his whole life had been given over to deceit and treachery and stealing. And God's grace, as this man sat in the prison cell, God's grace reached that man. And he was converted. He was brought to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus in his heart. And he began himself in the very prison to witness and to testify and to teach other people, translating gospel tracts into the language. He died in 1955, a poor man. But he died a very happy man. He died a man who had experienced the grace of God and the rich grace of God in his life. A trophy of grace. Indeed, Alves Rees is a trophy of grace to this very day. And my friend, if you look at your own experience, look in your own life, you will also agree that the Lord has had mercy upon you. Manasseh was converted. In verse 12, it says, when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord. He stopped fighting against the God who had created him, and he besought the Lord. The idea being to be grievously infirmed and to be sorry, to be repentant. He besought the Lord eagerly. He looked to the Lord by faith. He besought the Lord, the only one who could deliver him from his bondage and from his affliction. I'm sure that the years that Manasseh had sinned against God and all that he did would haunt his mind. They would come back to him again as he would think of himself sitting in prison. He seeks after the Lord whom he had discarded and that he had injured for so many years. And he cries out to the Lord. He besought the Lord with his heart. He humbled himself before the Lord and repented of his sin. And my friend, if you will ever find the Lord, it will be by true repentance and by humbling yourself. It tells us in verse 13 some beautiful words. And prayed unto the Lord, and God was entreated of him and heard his supplication. Because at the very moment when a sinner calls and cries out unto the Lord, at that very moment, God hears your prayer. For God heard Manasseh's prayer, and God heard the prayer of Alves Rees, and God will hear your prayer today as you call out unto him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise of the word of the Lord. That is the promise for you today. And the Lord who is rich in mercy, the Lord for his great grace, has brought us to the place of mercy. But what happened to Manasseh after that? The Lord had mercy on him. He released him from prison. He was given a most unique opportunity because he was set back on his throne in Jerusalem. And Manasseh began his restoration. He began his work as a believer. And it says he was brought again to Jerusalem in verse 13. Manasseh had experienced a dramatic change in his life. He was now a brand new man. And what was he going to do? Well, he had to begin another reformation. And from verse 14 to verse 16 of our chapter, we're told what he attempted to do. He built the wall again. He took away the strange gods and the idols out of the house of the Lord. He went and did what Hezekiah, his father, had done. And yet he was doing a work that his own hands had first of all sinned against the Lord, and he was going to restore this now. He repaired the altar of the Lord. He sacrificed peace offerings and thank offerings unto God. God's grace gave a good ending to a life that was really a wreck of a life. And he transformed him into being a great trophy of grace. Manasseh, however, did not receive any honor at his death, for he was buried in his own garden. He was not buried in the place where the kings of Judah are buried. His own son that reigned after him reigned only for 2 years, sadly continued in the pathway of evil that he had learned, and was assassinated by his own household. And he tried to turn back the years of damage, and he did a good job, but still the impact upon the people. And my friend, this is where the lesson needs to come home to us today, because though we may have sinned great sins, yet still the consequences of those to people around us may not totally be eradicated. The alcoholic that destroys his liver because of his excessive drinking may get saved, may come to the Lord and enjoy salvation, but still his body will reap the consequences of his sinful life. And so there was sadly in the people of Israel, though there was some change, yet still the people worshipped and made sacrifices unto the very groves and places that he had himself started. Oh, my friend, it is time for you to seek the Lord today. It is time to seek the Lord while he may be found. Because this very day and this moment, the grace of God and the arms of the Lord Jesus are open to receive you. What hinders you from coming? Will you have to go to the depths that Manasseh did before you call upon the Lord? Do not go to that road. Do not find yourself in some prison somewhere. Come and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ today, for He has promised that He will deliver you from your sin. I want to close our service today by singing the great hymn of Newton, number 247.